gonna keep up with those horses?
Then we will have to track them.
That would take forever. Besides, even if we find them, they'll catch us, stick us in cages, torture us, and finally devour us.
Are you suggesting we go home?
Nah, this is more fun.
All right.
About killing before Danny? You said somebody's gonna be blown up.
So. Do you want us to wait until you eat your? Is that a gordito?
No, this is a mini shredded chicken quesadilla and a Frito burrito.
Frito burrito. What's a mini shredded quesadilla?
It's like the best thing. It's only a dollar. It's just like a little quesadilla with shredded chicken. It's usually better than this, but it's sat in the bag, so it's kind of soggy.
I forget what we called them, but when I worked at Coney Island, we made these little Frito taco things where we just
walking tacos.
Yep,
those are pretty good.
Yeah, I need the shit.
That's
out
where
this.
It's just like a bag of Fritos with chili and cheese. Yeah, in it, right?
You put like chili or like hamburger, the like taco hamburger meat in it is what we put in.
So you worked at King's Coney Island?
Yeah,
nice.
Like my first weekend of college, like ever as a freshman. I was in the music program or whatever, and there's like Baird Music Hall or whatever, and my roommate had a funnel cake fryer, like a portable one. And so we were like talking about how rapport. He's like, dude, everybody's just like coming to campus. We can make a shit ton of money. He's like, do you know what a walking taco is? I'm like, yeah. He's like, we'll just like fry up a bunch of meat, make chili, and put them in there. They take like 50 cents to make, but you sell them for like $4. I was like, okay. So we set up shop like the first weekend of like in, you know, fall, yeah. Like everybody coming to campus. We made like $3,000 and it got shut down so hard. They were like, what the fuck are you guys doing? I'm like, selling funnel cakes and walking tacos. They're like, no, you have to have like a permit and shit. Like the campus cops came and they were not happy. But we made so much fucking money. I'm like, why doesn't everybody do this? This is a genius fucking idea.
Now you know.
Yeah.
You should sell walking tacos here.
You could.
Build a small kitchen in the back.
Yeah. Little crock pot kitchen.
Yeah, crock pot kitchen, man.
We've already got a fourth of the ingredients. Fritos.
He now has a microwave.
Yeah, I got a microwave and a fridge in the back.
I saw that. Nice.
So what's up? What are we doing?
We're recording this podcast that we record sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It was awkward when you eat. I don't care when I eat because I'll talk while I'm eating. But it doesn't seem that you will.
I will sometimes.
So what, Nintendo Dreamcast episode 90?
Yeah, this is episode 90. Yeah. Finally. I've been calling it for like 6 weeks now.
So what butt-related moniker is this episode going to be for the last
year? Yeah. What was it? Butt blood and butt Danny's cancer. Got butt cancer?
Yeah.
Anal blockage.
Well, your daughter shit the bed, right?
Yeah, she did.
This could be called Cordelia shit the bed. Or Daddy, I shit the bed. I like that.
Honey, I shit the bed.
Yeah. There you go.
Nintendo Dreamcast, episode 90. Daddy, I shit the bed. You heard it here first.
Yeah. She had to fart, and she didn't.
I've done that, too.
Poop came out.
It's happened to me. It's happened all. It's happened to the best of us.
Too much trust in a fart. Yep.
Yeah. It happens. You're sitting there, like, pretty sure it's just a fart. I could go to the bathroom. But you know what? I'm like, 85% sure. This is okay.
You roll those dice.
And you're like, ugh.
I mean, it's the worst. I think the last time I did it, it was actually last year, and I'd sit down, like, I'd eaten like 4 bowls of cereal that day, which is already like a mistake because milk doesn't settle too well with me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like sitting there on the couch, and I'm like eating like a piece of pizza and watching like Arrow season 2 on Netflix. I'm like the only person home, and I'm just like... I was like, wow. You're like, my asses are really wet right now.
You're like, why? Why would I risk this?
Well, I'm mad because when I lounge around, I don't wear like underwear. So it was like a really nice like set of sleep pants. They were...
It's actually a mess to clean up too. Really, this is like really. Not just in your butt; it's like all over the place.
Oh no! You jump in the shower. Yeah. No, you throw the pants into the garbage. Take the garbage out. Take a shower.
Oh yeah, that's what I did this summer.
I told you it's all part of growing up.
never stops.
Yeah.
The lessons never stop coming.
Whether you're 5 or 50, it's gonna happen.
I am not doing that again.
Yeah.
At least it happens when you're at home. If you were like away somewhere, that is just like a death sentence.
Oh, I'm much less adventurous in public than I am at home.
Yeah.
Like if I'm at home, like if I have to fart even a little bit, I'm like, all right, I'm forcing this fucker out. But if I'm out in public, I'm like, I should probably wait on that. But yeah. So everybody watch Willow, right?
Yeah, I did last week.
Last week?
No, but I watched it like 30 times back in the day. We used to have it on VHS.
Not only have I watched it 1 million times, but I've read the book.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
George Lucas decided in the 90s that he was going to do a sequel to Willow, and I guess the studios wouldn't make it. So
I can't imagine why.
He and Chris Claremont of X-Men fame, who did like the 80s Dark Phoenix saga, like the main run for like 10 years of Uncanny X-Men. They got together and they wrote 2 Willow novels.
Wow. I'd like to read the second one.
Yeah, they're about the girl, the infant, and she grows up and ends up actually being a bad person. And
Disney doesn't own Willow now, right?
I don't think so.
Lucas should totally make another Willow.
He did sell Star Wars so he could focus on some
to white slavers. To white slavers.
Yeah.
I like that the next day, like the headlines are George Lucas immediately regrets and apologizes.
I feel bad for him. I can picture saying something like that in an interview.
Yeah, me too. Like, if I was ever interviewed by a legitimate news source, they would be like, this guy. Here's all the quotes you don't want to say.
Yeah. I also, like, I heard about that in someone was making comments like, so what's worse? The people that are white slavers or people that sold their children to white slavers?
And also, why they gotta be white slavers? Like, if he just said slavers, like, I don't think the comment would have blown up at all.
Right.
Like, he could have said, like, I sold my kids into slavery.
He could have said, like, felt like I sold my children to hut slavers or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been good. I think he was trying to avoid, like, the whole racism part of slavery, because people get in trouble all the time for comparing things to slavery in interviews.
He should have said sand people slavery. That's probably less.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Well, this just in. George Lucas is kind of an idiot.
Yes. But he's a pothead.
Dude. He's actually, I feel bad. Like, I watched the interviews and stuff, and his whole existence is just a giant mistake now. Like, everything he does, he fucks up. Like, he has to be paranoid as fuck. Like, I honestly think he sold it just so, like, he didn't have to make them anymore, because I think the pressure would have just crushed him.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was, like, really upset, because he was like, I'll sell it to Disney, and then I'll tell them my ideas for the next movies, and then they'll make it, and it'll be their fault if it sucks, and they're like, we're not making your movie.
Yeah.
He seemed genuinely upset that he pitched them what he would do in the prequels, and they said no.
Yeah, and he did seem mad that it did so well. People liked it so much. Yeah.
It's like approaching number one movie ever or whatever.
Probably. It'll hit it eventually.
At $20 million away.
Like last I checked, it just passed Titanic at number two. So
yeah, it's almost about to pass Avatar.
Avatar.
I think Avatar is the like highest grossing movie that has zero impact on culture today. If you think about it, like nobody talks about Avatar. It has no overall cultural impact. It has no like rabid fan base. It's a movie that happened and broke every single box office record and immediately went away.
I never even watched it.
I can't name two characters from it, and I saw it like twice, I think.
Is it just the highest box? Because it was like basically the first 3D movie.
People went shit.
First real 3D movie.
Yeah, people went apeshit over it when it came out. But
I remember liking it, but like you said, I can't remember any of the main characters' names to save my life.
Yeah, so. I remember Michelle Rodriguez dies, but I don't remember her character.
Spoilers, Danny's not seen it.
Or why she next died.
Week. Next week's episode is Avatar.
Oh, I was going to suggest Cloak and Dagger.
I remember the sex tendrils. Everybody remembers that part.
Is Sigourney Weaver's in it, which was the only character that didn't suck dicks in
Sam Worthington's the main guy.
So I don't even know who that is. I know.
The dude from Terminator.
Which dude?
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. The main guy, the crippled one, though.
What? When you say the guy from Terminator, you have to be very specific, because there's actual Terminator movies. Terminator and this guy
Salvation.
Isn't in them.
Terminator Salvation.
Okay. Because you say, like, you know, the guy from Terminator, the crippled guy. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
John Dyson.
Nobody has seen
the black
Terminator
guy
Salvation.
That blows himself up in Terminator 2.
No, it's not him.
Oh, he was crippled in that movie. Wasn't he?
Who are you? What movie was he crippled in?
Avatar. Terminator 2. Wasn't he crippled?
Wasn't probably he in a wheelchair? He was not in a wheelchair. No, towards the end, he was probably crippled when he's all beat up and blown up. But
I think you're going to edit this opening, this opening monologue. It was dead air at the beginning.
It's Miles Dyson.
Miles Dyson.
There you go.
Right. Boom.
Sorry.
Have you guys seen the Sarah Connor Chronicles or whatever?
I've heard it's good. I've
watched a few episodes of it.
I liked it.
Everybody says it's good. Never seen a single episode of it.
Same here.
Well, for whatever reason, they took it off Netflix. So
Summer Blau.
A friend of mine gave me one of those websites that streams pretty much every movie there is. So I've been going through that, just starting at page one and working my way through seeing everything.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Ted 2 was horrible. I don't know if I've seen that yet.
Ted 2 was horrible.
The best part was Patrick Warburton and the black guy that plays Worf from Star Trek. They cosplay as themselves, the Tick and Worf, and then just beat people up at a Comic-Con. It's pretty great.
So, well, that's not we're talking about terrible movies and shows. I have some very important news to share with all of you people. Some very beloved shows on this podcast have recently been getting new seasons. On Netflix right now, you can watch second season of Helix.
Hell yeah.
Helix is a great show.
And
I know it's
not so great.
I watched the first episode.
Coming January 17th is the second season of Z Nation.
I know, I'm excited about that.
I can't wait for that.
I actually caught like a commercial for it like when it was out, and it looked like this character is like blue. He's like wearing blue face paint. And he's like, why is he
Dr.
like
Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah, he looks like Dr. Helix or Z Nation?
For Z Nation.
I read a really good review of the second season. I said it's actually better than the first.
Oh my God, it's going to be great.
I also like that show.
I did too. I like Z Nation.
Me too. I mean, it was stupid. It was made by the Asylum, but it was good.
Has anybody seen Fear of the Walking Dead?
No,
I haven't seen that either. I'm not even caught up on Walking Dead.
Me either. I heard it was good.
I'm through season four of Walking Dead.
I think I'm halfway through whatever the most recent season on Netflix is, but I stopped watching it because Rick is a fucking dumbass and I can't get through it.
Carl! Anybody, what have you been playing, Matt?
Fallout 4. And Majora's
Mask. I envy
you
so much.
Don't you?
Majora's Mask?
I literally cannot.
On 3DS?
You were here last time we podcasted, were you?
Well, I got here like 10 minutes after you left.
Oh, no, not the not that time. The time before that when we had two replacements to replace you.
Oh, and I was here for that too, yeah.
Okay. Brandon and the other one.
You're just drunk.
Yeah, I missed 3 weeks, so. Well, two shows and then last week, too.
I don't know who you are.
I'm slacking. Well, the numbers have been up in my absence, so maybe it's a good sign.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You've been rigging them.
I had a sick kid for a month, so that was always fun.
Yeah. So I'm playing Fallout 4 and Majora's Mask on 3DS. It's really good.
How many survivors do you have at a camp? I know you said you're trying to do the one thing where you get a lot at one camp.
I still can't get above 20. Apparently, you have to try really hard. You have to get like happiness at 100, and like your charisma has to be super high.
Yeah, I haven't done any of that. Settlement stuff.
Well, I have like almost all the settlements, like close to 30.
I love all the memes of the black guy showing up everywhere telling you that you have a mission back at the base. Or
the shining meme.
The shining one. He's like through the door like.
Another settlement needs your help.
Yeah.
Which I love them. I'm like, cool, another settlement I could find.
I kind of thought I would eventually do the whole settlement thing until I realized how many settleable areas there are. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, fuck it. I'm not going to.
Each one has like cool different characteristics that you can like use to build different stuff.
And yeah.
I'm getting really good at building. I've gotten like a 3-story house that I built for myself.
Nice. Like, yeah, I've seen some really creative things like people, some person like rebuilt the Tenpenny Tower or whatever from like.
I watch a lot of videos and see a lot of pictures of people playing Fallout 4.
Did you see that one of like the 1,000 Death Claws versus 100 Liberty Primes?
Oh, I saw that. I
yeah, it was 10 meant. Liberty Primes, wasn't it?
It was 10.
Yeah, it was 1,000 versus 10.
10.
Which I guess is a spoiler because I didn't know Liberty Prime was in Fallout.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that yet either.
But, well, thank you for that, gentlemen.
But listeners won't know what a Liberty Prime is. So.
Unless they've played Fallout 3.
Yeah.
I remember that in Fallout 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a big plot point.
That's why I was really spoiled by that video. I was like, holy shit, they're bringing back Liberty Prime.
I definitely beat it.
It's the main focus of the first or the second DLC.
Brotherhood of Steel?
Oh, well, I don't think I played that DLC then.
Oh, wait. It was in a DLC. I thought it was in the main storyline. No,
it's the DLC that is actually the third one. So the first two don't involve the main story, but the third DLC directly involves the main story, and it picks up right after you end Fallout 3. And
I don't remember that DLC.
And you're with the Brotherhood of Steel trying to fix the rest of the Capital Wasteland, and they have a giant robot called Liberty Prime.
I think, like, I didn't play any of the DLC in Fallout 3. When I'm done a Fallout game, I think I'm pretty much, like, done with Fallout.
Yeah, I did the Alaska one.
And the DLC for Fallout 3 is...
I did the Alaska one and the alien spaceship
Mothership
one.
Zeta.
I don't remember there being another one.
There was actually three. Damn, there's five.
Four or five.
Because there was the one where you go to the haunted, like, Carnival Redneck Island, which is really cool. And there's the pit. You go to Pittsburgh.
I remember the pit, actually.
Yeah. I forget what the one with...
wasn't the pit...
Liberty Prime.
Oh, never mind. It couldn't have been New Vegas.
Nope.
Yeah.
I will look up the names. The one with Liberty Prime was really... It was, like, the best one. It was the longest one. But the fucking one where you go to, like, the red... It's, like, this, like, inbred redneck island. Where there's like a carnival and stuff on the island.
I don't remember that. I must have sped through
that.
There's
the alien one also.
Yeah.
Mothership Zeta. I know that one. I know the pit. Operation Anchorage.
Yeah.
Broken Steel.
Broken Steel is Liberty Prime.
Yeah.
Broken Steel.
It's like something point.
Oh, Point Lookout.
Yeah, Point Lookout.
Point Lookout.
Yeah, Operation Anchorage, the pit, Broken Steel, Point Lookout, and Mothership Zeta. Which I'm wondering if, because I have a free copy of Fallout 3 for Xbox One, because it came with you.
Oh, that's true. I have that too.
I'm wondering if the DLC.
I'm sure it's the Game of the Year edition.
I don't know.
Yeah, because the other way, there's no way to get the DLC on Xbox One. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe one day when I play Fallout 4, I get to play Fallout 3 again.
I'm like level 65 now, super overpowered. Like
I don't even think I'm level 50 yet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
never in danger of dying.
I got the huge degenerate combo going on for combat.
Yeah, I got that perk and a lot of sneak damage.
Yep.
You playing anything else besides Fallout?
Just Majora's Mask. I'm up to the Goron Temple.
What you been playing, Danny?
I've actually been playing a lot. I mean, I've been playing my usual like Fallout 4, Heroes of the Storm a little bit. But there's like a bunch of Steam sales, and I have a couple of friends that always want to buy all the multiplayer games on Steam and try them out. So I end up spending like $50 on multiplayer games to play with them, and then we play them like four or five times and then never play them again. It pisses me off. But I had a friend that really liked Don't Starve, and they made there's like a beta release of Don't Starve Together, which is the multiplayer version of Don't Starve. So we played that for like a week. Probably this is like not all the content for Don't Starve is in Don't Starve Together yet. So we kind of like survived the winter, and it's like now we can just survive through anything. Like there's nothing the game can throw at us that'll really take us down at all.
I have the giant version. I forget what it's called on PS4.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of DLC for the original Don't Starve.
And, there's, like, giants and shit that come around once you start doing well.
But the other thing that I just recently started playing with my friends is there's a game called Warhammer The End Times Vermintide. And no one else I've ever met has heard of this game. But I had my friend like watched some videos about it. It said it looked awesome. So without really like looking into it all, I bought it. It was like $25 on sale. So it was like price, like it's like a AAA title or something. So, but as we're playing it, it's about the Warhammer fantasy universe. And, you're in this like city called like Obelisk or something like that. And it's being overrun by Slaven, which are little rat people. And, it's actually, as I'm playing the game, I realize it's just a, it's like a, almost like a Left 4 Dead clone of the single player. You can't do the versus mode like in Left 4 Dead where you played as rats, but they have the special rats. Like there's one rat that jumps on top of you and just claws you to death until someone knocks him off. It's like a hunter in Left 4 Dead. There's another one that comes at you with like little, like he's like animal control or something. He's got the little like hook on a stick thing like that, you know, they, yeah, like, that he little, hooks you around the neck thing, yeah. He hooks you around the neck and drags you away from the rest of the group through the rattling horde, and he's like the smoker of the game.
Yeah, the smoker.
They have like a little they call it like a globadier or something like that. He throws little poison bombs that disorient you like a boomer in Left 4 Dead. That's about where the comparisons end, though, because there's one that just, there's like a big rat that just has a Gatling gun, like and then there's a rat ogre, which is like the tank from Left 4 Dead. It's actually a pretty fun game. Since it's single player only, the way they keep it interesting is that you can, at the end of every mission, you roll to acquire loot, and you can upgrade your weapons and armor and stuff like that. And the loot have different rarities, and like if you get 5 white items, common items, you can fuse them together to get an uncommon item and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Fun.
Cool. Ish, what have you been playing, man?
I finished up Rise of the Tomb Raider. It was really, really fun. It's it seems shorter than the other game.
Mm-hmm. So you know what game's really long?
Fallout 4.
Yeah, it's just a really long game. I plan on starting it
probably Monday, because that's my next
weekend. It's an insult to James that you have that game and you haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I play at weird paces, and I play at weird times. But finish that up. It was kind of neat. I liked, towards the end, it got like more of the mystical stuff like it was at the end of the first game. I don't know if you remember playing that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat. And then, besides that, I picked up Papers, Please on the Steam sale.
It's a good game.
Yeah, I like Papers, Please.
It's pretty fun. I'd never played it before, and a little bit of strategy. Some of the things that pop up are kind of funny. They're for people, why people are traveling and trying to sneak shit in.
Yeah.
And then some Hearthstone. I always take it to level 20, and then sometimes I play past that. Sometimes I don't.
So
I
get
my card back.
I get to like level 15 most months.
I haven't been playing much. I'm just working. Hanging out here. Yep. All the holidays and stuff.
Cool.
I did play something else, actually. I played Adventures of Pip. It was on sale. PSN. It's just, you start out as a pixel in this world full of, like, 8-bit looking characters, and you can level up and become, like, an 8-bit character and, like, a 16-bit character. It's just like a side-scrolling platforming RPG.
Can you become a 64-bit character?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, I but also... Or keep going.
No, it's just, it's kind of nice art, interesting design.
I also started KOTOR because I'd never played it before.
Oh, really?
You like it?
It was on sale at Steam for like $250 or something like that.
Oh, man.
And I just bought it. I'm not that far yet. Like, I just rescued the Wookiee and we went and stole
You got your life debt?
We stole the, yeah, I got the life debt and I stole the swoop engine and played that stupid swoop racer.
Dude, I was so good at that game. Fuck some shit up.
Met the Jedi and that's about as far as I got. Now, there's like, I'm at this part where I have to get a droid so I can sneak into the military base, and my options are to intimidate the woman to giving it me for free or paying 2,000 credits for it. And I was like, this is why I've been upping persuasion, right? And I'm like, give it to me. And she's like, fuck you. But here it is. And then it's like dark side points. I'm like, no.
So I'm like, you think intimidation is the path of the light side?
How am I supposed to get 2,000 credits? And I'm like trying to play that stupid blackjack game to make credits.
Or Pazak.
Pazak. There's a side quest where you have to cheat at Pezek. Have you done that yet?
No.
What is that? That's how you make a lot of money.
How do you cheat at it?
When you go into one of the cantina things, there's going to be a guy outside. He's going to give you a little device, and you take it in, and you can play on a Pazic machine, and like the controller will vibrate when it's like. Like, you can win only win so much before you gets like, the bouncer will get suspicious and come over towards your machine. Then you got to switch machines and go do a different one. Then you go out, you just hand him his machine back because you're just calibrating it for him. And you get to keep all the credits.
Nice.
Who all's in your party so far?
Mission of the Wookiee?
Yeah. Well, I made myself a scoundrel, so I don't need mission too much.
Yeah.
But I definitely liked the Wookiee. He's like the most amazing tank ever. I gave him two in fighting and he just runs around with two vibro swords.
Nice.
God, I want to play that again.
It's so fun.
If you have a Android tablet, it's the free app on the Android app shop this week.
So I saw that too.
It's not on Kindle though, which even though it uses the Android store, it uses like a modified version, and I was pissed it wasn't on there.
I was originally gonna make myself a soldier, but then I went to character creation. For some reason, soldier gets like 2 skill points, and I'm like, fuck these guys.
You can go into your Kindle, and there's like in the settings, and there's a thing to select like outside apps.
Really?
Yeah, and then you can run whatever app you want.
I have to do that.
You just have to disable it.
Has any of the game been spoiled for you over the years and stuff?
Yeah, don't talk about that.
I don't know anything about the game.
Okay. I was hoping none of it, nothing had, because it's a really good game, like narrative wise.
Yeah, the story is really cool. I've been playing Stella Glow, which is the only game I've gotten to play. No, I haven't actually got to play a lot. So basically, I don't have any time anymore. I'm here from usually about 1 o'clock till 1 in the morning. Then I go home, and I get about 30 minutes and then I go to sleep and I wake up just in time to like
come up in the
get
shop
a shower again. And come open the shop. So like I'll play a little bit of 3DS in the bed while I fall asleep, and it's a really good game. The story is kind of generic, but the art direction and the gameplay are directly pretty much Final Fantasy Tactics. It's really nice. I like it a lot. I haven't got too far into it, but
is that the game with the naked anime girls in the back?
Yeah. Like,
oh yeah,
I put it on like my Amazon wish list. My mom bought it for Christmas. She's like, "Why are there naked women on the back?" I'm like, "I don't know. Sorry." But you're basically like, you're in like generic fantasy world, and in this world, music is magic. So if you can sing, you can cast spells or whatever. And so like this girl shows up in the village you're in and starts singing, but nobody's ever heard it because magic is rare or whatever. But she's a like evil witch, and she destroys your city. And the girl that you you're like sister or whatever starts to sing, and like you find out she's a witch too, but like not a bad witch. And like these guys come and like save you from the village, and you're going around trying to find other people that can sing, which also happen to only people that can sing are half naked Japanese girls. So you're building a collection of half naked Japanese girls to fight. But the combat system is really awesome. I like it a lot. I bought it based solely that it is like in the top 10 3DS games rating right now on Metacritic of all time. Like it's got really amazing reviews. So. The story starts to get a lot better too as you get into it, but initially it's kind of shallow. But,
was that the one where you have to like construct dance routines?
No.
Okay.
No. The gameplay is total just Final Fantasy Tactics.
There's a game with a similar story. It's a JRPG, and you have to. It's like part rhythm game, part tactical game like that.
No. But yeah, that's about it. Super excited that Fire Emblem's only a month away now.
Wow.
I checked Amazon, and I'm glad I got on that first day special edition, because it didn't sold out everywhere. It's the only way to get all 3 games on one cart, which you might not think is a big deal, but after reading from the people that play it in like Japan and stuff, it's super annoying to have to download the other 2.
No, so, I didn't realize it was all on one cart.
Yeah, the special edition.
You got all 3 of them.
You get them all on one cart. Whereas the other, like, it costs the same if you buy them all separately, but you don't get them all on one cart.
Don't you get a discount on one of them if you beat the game first or something like that?
Yeah, but it still comes out to the same price as the special edition.
Oh, okay.
The special edition comes with this, like, a cloth case for your 3DS and an art book and other stuff, too. But when the game is, when the 3DS is long gone and people are trying to get those other games, like they're going to be rare because there's the DLC will not be there. Like the DLC is only downloadable form. So this will be the only way in 10 years to play the games because they'll be on one cart.
Nice.
I'm excited. The reviews are amazing for them. I was reading the Japanese reviews. So, and evidently the game, it's like playing three separate games. Like the gameplay is different between the, like the story is like vastly different. So it really is like not just like Pokemon where it's like a reskin. So that's kind of cool.
Huh.
They said Birthright is very similar to Awakening, and Conquest is very similar to the old school Fire Emblem games, are a lot more difficult and less focus on like working in teams and stuff. And evidently they went through and tried to rebalance teaming up. So Birthright focuses more on team up than Conquest, and they've changed in team up where the other person never attacks. You know how there's like a percentage chance in Fire Emblem?
Oh, yeah.
Of having the other person you're with attack, which can get super powerful.
It really does.
The other person will never attack in the new ones.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time. It's like because
there was no reason not to have all your characters teamed up.
Yeah, you have like some super knight character that can take like mega amounts of damage and just team up with like a mage or something. Yep. And the knight will just smack, and then the mage will like pow, and do all her damage without ever having to like risk.
They'll both still get XP, but the other one won't ever attack.
Yeah.
They'll just provide like a passive bonus.
That's the only way to like win a battle in the hardest mode.
Yeah, that's how the original Fire Emblems were. Like, you could like team them up. You could like put them up into one unit so they could, the other one carries the other one, but the other one just doesn't do shit.
Yeah.
So in the original Fire Emblems, I was like really big into formations where I'd have the mages in the back and my tanks in the front. Mm-hmm. So they are still supporting each other, but they could both get attacks off. But Fire Emblem Awakening totally negated the need for that. And it took me a little while to adjust to that.
Yeah, I was reading an interview with the Japanese developers and they're talking about the new game. And they said that it was never their intention in Awakening to have it be played through as every single person was teamed up. But they quickly realized that everybody played that way because it's just better.
Yeah.
So they took away that to encourage people to not always team up. But yeah, so that's all I've been playing. The movie this week is Willow.
Oh, I gave my Xbox 360 to my dad for Christmas, but I no longer have an Xbox.
Hmm. Should fix that. Maybe go out to the store.
I hear an Xbox One. A new cheaper one's coming out soon.
Xbox One?
Mm-hmm.
They always say.
I believe it. My Xbox One, the, or not my Xbox One, but my Xbox 360, I think has finally kicked it. It's like 10 years old. The disk drive won't work. And so like I've been watching like movies on it and it got stuck. So I tried to pry it out and it just fucked up the whole disk drive. So I can turn on and watch Netflix, but when the whole time it's on, the disk drive goes like trying to close and the light just keeps like flickering.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it. So I was like, I'll just go buy a Blu-ray player because I got a bunch of Blu-rays for Christmas. And like Blu-ray players are as much as like a PlayStation 3. Like,
yeah.
I was for sure at this point in time there would be like $20 Blu-ray players, but no.
Nope.
So I might as well just get a PlayStation 3. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just get a PS4 for the bedroom. And I was like, you know what? I don't have money. So right now I'm just using the janky fucking Xbox that just blinks and goes.
Yeah, my Xbox 360 was having that problem too, where the drive wouldn't come out all the way. I remember Ish promised he would fix it for me. I don't remember how you said you would do that.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, you had to clean the bands and on the disk drive.
I had like this really weird system where like it would like, it clicks. It would
Doesn't
if you happen. Like, I was like trying to figure out if you time it, if I slap it right on the front, the exact time it clicks, it actually comes out. So I was like, there would be these like weird instances where I'm trying to change games. I'm like, come on, click! Damn it, I just barely missed it. Okay,
I got it.
Just slamming on top of my Xbox.
Nice.
So, we're gonna talk about Willow?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, let's see how much I remember.
Did you like it or not?
It was passable.
I loved it as a kid. But I had nightmares that brownies pulled my teeth out.
I always, as a kid, I loved that movie, and I liked going to collect acorns when I was a kid to pretend that they were magic acorns that could throw at things and turn them to stone. I think those are like my coolest, like one of my favorite magic items from a movie ever is the acorns. Stone acorns.
Oh, yeah.
I think I got in trouble for hitting some kid really hard with an acorn playing that.
Did he ever actually get to use them? I remember he dropped one acorn and it hit the bridge and turned it to stone, and he threw one at the witch, but she was like, bah, and just reversed the magic.
He throws one at a troll, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets a troll with one.
I must have missed that part.
It's been like 20 years since I've seen it. Still remember that.
So give us a rundown, man.
So it starts out with this like little Star Wars. I don't know. What's a good comparison?
A
like
crawl?
The little like it's not a crawl, but it's like that kind of thing where like.
Yeah, the foreshadowing.
Like it's like the whole.
The prophecy.
The whole. Yeah. Like Dune maybe would be a good example where they just go over the backstory through a couple of little like. Quotation marks and like just words on top of like stormy backgrounds, and it's the land is being ruled by some evil queen, and there's a prophecy that a young child will be born that will overthrow the queen. So the queen rounds up all the pregnant women in the whole country world. I don't know.
Yeah, in the land.
In the land.
In the land.
In the land. And throws them all in a dungeon. And every time one of them gives birth, she examines the child because the child is supposed to have like a special birthmark on her arm. And eventually they find the child. And so the mother is like pleading with the midwife. She's like, please, like they're in a dungeon and like the knight has gone to go get the queen because he's like, it's the baby with the mark on the arm. And the mother is pleading with the midwife like, please, please save my baby. They'll kill her.
That dude was totally fantasy Darth Vader, by the way. The mask.
Yeah. And so the midwife throws the baby in a basket of laundry. Super risky, because all newborn babies do is cry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like if the baby had done anything when she was like walking out, she would have been like dead too. But the midwife like takes it upon herself to save this baby and just like wanders through the woods with it for, I don't even know, some undetermined amount of period of time.
Until she gets torn apart by wargs.
Yeah.
Wargs.
She like, so there's like these wolves hunting them, and her plan to save the baby, I don't know how like she knew, the wargs are obviously tracking them by scent, but were they tracking her by the baby's scent or like her scent? Because I mean, like what she does is she manages to pull out this like log or something, and puts the baby on the log and just floats it down the river.
Yeah, she gives it to Moses.
Yeah. And the wargs, like, eat her. Like, could you imagine if she, like, pushed it down the river and, like, stood there with her stick, and then the wargs just, like, beelined right for the baby. And like, just, like, took, like, 8 bites out of
they
it.
Just leap into the water and swim over to the basket.
Yeah. So the baby's just, like, floating down the river now without a caretaker. And she's having a good time. She's not complaining. She's like, the sky's blue.
Very mild-mannered child.
Yep. And it eventually like crashes into a bank. And these two little like midget children walk up.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Nelwyn.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't remember what they were called. I remember they it sounded kind of like Elfwind. Yeah. Nelwyn. They're Nelwyn.
I'm sure midget's fine.
Yeah.
In the fantasy world, there is no such thing as PC. So
Nelwyn walk up, and they're like, it's cute, I like the baby. And then their dad, Willow, is like farming, I assume. I mean, he had like a plow. Plowing,
right? How old was Warwick Davis at this point? Because he was a kid when he was in Return of the Jedi. This movie did not come out that
much later.
Yeah.
He looks young as hell. Like he looks the same as he always been.
So this is the same guy that does the Leprechaun movies?
Yep. And Wicket. The Ewok in those two Star Wars TV movies, which I missed the show for those. Shame.
We only did one of them.
Mm. Yep.
Did not get great reviews. But they call her dad Willow, and they're like, "This is a little baby," and it's like he's a, what is the human race called, like Dothraka or something like that.
Daikini.
And he's like, "It's a Daikini baby," and then Willow's like, "All right, we're just gonna push it back into the river and pretend we didn't see it."
Yeah.
But then the elder of the town or some like asshole shows up on Willow's farm,
the guy
tax collector
taxes,
or something like that,
or whatever.
Yeah. And he's like, Willow, where are you, Willow? And he has to like run out and deal with this like officious little prick for like 5 or 10 minutes. And in the meantime, his wife has like wandered down to the river and found the baby too. And she's like, "Let's keep it." And Willow's like, no, we can't. We can't. And then eventually he's like, "Fine."
He even tells him, like, "Don't fall in love with that baby."
Yeah, don't fall in love with that baby. So they're like, the next day there's some sort of huge festival. Or maybe it's the same day. I can't really tell. But it's Willow's big chance to show off his magic skills and become the new apprentice to like the peck magician of the group. And he's like doing little magic tricks. Like he like puts a log over his arm and sticks a sword through it, and it goes all the way out the other end and stuff like that. And he makes a pig disappear, but it just like runs out from underneath the table. He hid it underneath. So he's just like, he's not a real wizard. He's just like a little magician guy. But at the festival, the magician gives the prospective apprentices a test, and he's like, "Which finger holds the power to rule the world?" And he like holds out one hand, and they all point to like one finger individually. There's three of them, and like Willow's the last one. I'm like, "Come on, Willow,
you got this.
A 3 in 5 chance." But I knew it was like some arcane riddle. I actually had a pretty good idea what he was looking for. It was like
your own,
but they reveal later
Danny
on.
Danny pretty much would have been this guy's apprentice.
I would have been. Would have been his apprentice. But they point like they give the answer to the riddle they give later on is like you're supposed to point to your own finger. You're not supposed to point to one of the magician's fingers. But he holds out like a hand like you're supposed to. So they all fell for it.
Apprentice this year.
Yeah, even Willow. He like hesitates for like a whole like minute and a half, but eventually just points to like one of the fingers. And no apprentices this year. And then right afterwards, the whole festival is attacked by a warg, and they have to. There's like this big, like buff looking little
with the curly mullet.
Yeah, and he like beats the shit out of it.
That was his friend. I forget the.
He beats the shit out of it, just stabs it right through the face, dead. But
Migosh is like the worst Sam game GM. It's like, all right, you need help? I'm actually going to go home here. I would carry you to Mount Doom, but fuck this shit.
The warg had been tearing up all the baby mangers, so it's like, they were looking for someone's baby. And then that's when Willow's like, oh, fuck, I bet I know what baby they were looking for. So they bring the baby to the council, and like that officious prick was like, "We'll just burn it, burn the baby." I don't remember what he said, but he's like, "Fuck it, just leave it in the woods somewhere. Let the wargs find it out there." And then, but the magician is like starting to see some sort of potential in Willow, and he's like, "I think Willow should be the one to take the baby to the nearest human village." Yeah. And so it was like Willow and the magician forces the officious prick to go with them. There's like a cool scene where he's like, "Who else will go?" And then like that really badass soldier steps up. He's like, "I will go.
You have my sword."
The officious prick was like, "No, he's our best soldier. He has to stay in town with us." And then the magician's like, "Then you go, officious prick." And he's like, "Come with us, best soldier in town. You're needed." So it's like five of them and the baby. And the magician starts to find out the potential. He's like, "When I gave you the test, what was your gut reaction?" And he's like, "I feel like I should have pointed at my own finger." And he's like, "That was the right answer. You need more faith in yourself, Willow." And, but they...
The five of them journey out.
He gives them the acorns.
He gives them, oh, that's right. He gives them like a handful of acorns. Jeez. He's like, if you throw this acorn at something, it will turn stone. Like, awesome.
I feel like those acorns would have came really in handy when there's giant fucking boars running through the town.
But they go to the nearest town and it's deserted. All there is a man in a cage. And he's like tormenting. They're like tormenting him and he's tormenting them. He grabs one of them by the neck. They're like, give me water. Give me water. And they just camp out. There's like a whole town, but they decide just to camp out right next to this guy so they can continue to like yell at him and have him yell at them or something.
Well, he's right near the crossroads, so yeah, they were hoping like a...
This is normally where I do my Mad Mortigan voice, but I feel like that is... It was the same deal with Mad Max, and you guys are waiting on it. No. So I'm not going to do it.
I haven't heard anything about it. That's
yeah, case. I don't remember.
Mad Mortigan! I feel like I do that quite a bit.
You idiot. The bird.
Yeah, that's the man in the cage is named Mad Mortigan, and he's supposed to be like some really awesome soldier, but he's
the fantasy Han Solo.
Yeah. He's also
actually a direct like analog for everybody in Star Wars in this movie if you pay attention. The old wizard is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Willow is Luke Skywalker.
Farmer, yeah.
Mad Mortigan is Han Solo. The giant evil like soldier with an awesome sword and like crazy mask is Darth Vader. The evil witch is the Emperor.
Who's Princess Leia?
The chick.
Princess Leia is the chick.
The one that turns coat on her mom. The bad bitch's daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's taking the baby back.
Yeah, I would think maybe
sort of.
The brownies are R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Scariest things ever in a movie.
Yeah, those guys were
great. He literally made a fantasy version of Star Wars, that George Lucas.
So all the other little guys are like, just give the baby to Mad Morgan. He's like the first human we saw. Clearly, he's capable of taking care of a baby. And then Willow was like, no, this baby needs a special, like, caring family. And so they, like, sit around waiting. But all that comes through is an entire army of people. And they're like, yeah, you got to get the hell out of here. We're about to have a giant
war. The rebellion.
Yeah, we're about to have a giant war here.
Rebellion comes through.
So the Willow is eventually persuaded by his Sam Gamgee or whatever that. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the character's name.
Migosh?
No. Migosh, is it?
Yeah.
That's to correct. Give the baby to Mad Morgan, and Mad Morgan's like, oh, little baby, oh. And then as they're leaving, they're probably not even like 20 minutes away from like where they gave him the baby, and this little brownie flies down on the hawk like, I stole a human baby, and the hawk's just carrying like the baby, and Willow's like, oh, what the fuck, Mad Mortigan, and he like chases after the brownies, and the brownies are like these, they're like they're like inch high little dudes. They're supposed to be like little fairies, but they don't have wings, which I think would be the worst thing to be. It's like an inch high tall guy that
you ever
can't
seen
even
David the Gnome Man.
They're basically Smurfs.
That's
with
a movie
arrows.
We have to watch. Have you guys ever watched A Gnome Named Norm?
No.
With Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club fame.
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. We'll add it to the list.
Oh, totally unrelated. Me and my brother was arguing about how like Johnny Depp hasn't been in anything good since like 2005 or something like that.
Yeah.
So
true
I like
statement.
What?
True statement.
I went on like IMDb and like read everything that he has been in since like 2005. But in pre-production for 2017, he's apparently voicing a role in Gnomeo and Juliet: Sherlock Gnomes is on the case or something like that.
Have you seen the first Gnomeo and Juliet?
No,
that's a really good anime. It's really funny. It's really cute.
Trailer. God, I was like laughing so hard when I heard about that. Like, back on track though, the brownies kidnap the baby. And it turns out that the brownies are led by some sort of like fairy princess, sort of like a Gelda the Good Witch looking woman.
Yoda.
Yeah. And she gives a wand to Willow and tells Willow that the
lightsaber.
The baby is the reborn
Death Star plans. The baby is literally the Death Star plans.
The reborn spirit of an age-old princess that will take... That's the first he's heard about what the baby really
key
is.
Key to defeating the Empire.
Yep. So they go about their... so she gives him... And she's like, you need to go visit the greatest witch of all time or something like that.
I guess witch of all time is certainly Yoda.
Yeah, it's on like... she lives on some island. So now they're trying to get to this island. They're like walking.
Dagobah system.
They need a big boat.
Yeah, they're walking. And they stop at an inn. And that's where Willow finds Mad Mortigan again.
Most likely Cantina.
And that's where also they introduce that the brownies have this magical heartbreak powder where you fall in love with like the first thing you see and your heart is immediately broken because it doesn't love you back or something like that. I guess that's why they call it the heartbreak powder or something.
Dust
like that.
Of the broken hearts.
Yeah. And then one of the little brownies hits the other brownies with it and he falls in love with a cat. And the cat tries to eat him and he's like, oh, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I must kiss you. And the cat, like, wow. He's like, shit. But the soldiers show up. I think at some point, they go back.
The Empire shows up and they have to fly away in the Millennium Falcon.
They do a scene back at the castle where the witch, the evil queen has had her daughter looking for the baby. But she's like, you need help. And then Darth Vader, he's like, I've just come back from conquering people. And then they're like, help my daughter find the baby. And so the daughter's like, I can do it by myself. And the prophet that has been feeding the queen all of these like prophecies and stuff is like, one day she will betray you. I've never been wrong before. And she's like, nah, my daughter will always be loyal.
I trust my daughter more than I trust you.
Yeah. But the daughter shows up at the inn and she's checking all the babies. And it turns out Mad Mortigan is also there, like getting some tail from one of his lady friends.
Han Solo.
Yeah. And then, but the lady is married, so her husband's coming to the inn too. And she's like, you have to dress up. She dresses up Mad Mortigan like a woman. And then the husband starts hitting on Mad Mortigan.
Right in front of his wife.
Yeah, right in front of his wife. And then he gets. He's holding the baby and the soldier's like, oh, is that your baby? Let's see its arm. And then they find it's the real baby. And then Mad Mortigan has to unveil himself as not a woman. And the
not
husband,
a woman, not a woman, not a woman.
And then the guy just goes fucking nuts. And so he just punches everyone around him and takes on like this whole like soldier fort by
dude
himself.
Is very homophobic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the dude made him gay.
They jump on a wagon and steal it and then drive down the road. And lose this Emperor soldiers.
Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, by like
the Millennium Falcon.
Pushing barrels off and yeah, smashing
like
in the
when they're in the turrets shooting the TIE fighters. And like Willow throws the barrel out and then Mad Mortigan's like, don't get cocky, kid.
Yeah. And the brownies cut a barrel off. So then they get to the lake where the island is and they go out
Dagobah.
to the island. And he's like, oh, great witch. Oh, great witch. I can't remember what her name is.
I don't remember either.
It's like a really tiny island. So even Willow's like...
Morda?
That Morda's the evil queen.
Okay, never mind.
Even the Willow is like, where the hell is this lady? It's like such a small island. How can it come? I can't
Rizal.
See her. Rizal. And then he's like, Rizal, are you here? And then this little like... I don't know what kind of animal was she to begin with?
Was it?
No, not a sheep. It was like a little like tree cat or something like that.
Judge me by my size with you.
So I thought it was a bird.
No, he later turns her into a crow.
I don't remember.
But she starts out as like this little like squirrel sort of like.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Tree animal looking thing. It's not something I'm really familiar with. I don't exactly know what animal it is. She's like. I am. What was the name again?
Rizal.
I am Rizal. The evil witch turned me into this a long time ago. And so they have now, like, joining their party is this little mirror cat thing that can't even do anything to help them. And she's like, Willow, you have to turn me back with the wand. And he's like, I can't cast magic. But then the Empire soldiers catch up to him and. They put him in they tie them up, and she's like teaching him how to use magic as they're being marched across the wasteland or whatever. And once they make camp, they're able to break her out of her cage, the little mirror, the little cat looking thing. And she climbs, I don't know exactly know why, but she climbs into their cage so that they can turn her back into a human. I'm like, wouldn't you just like let him do that outside of the cage?
There's a proximity issue.
Yeah. But he's like trying to cast a spell, and she's like, "Well, you're fucking it up!" And then like she just turns into a crow. So now she's a crow instead of a little cat thing.
Well, you idiot.
Yeah. But
man, morning and
the brownies, the brownies manage to pick the lock to their cage, but not before Mad Mortigan's like, "Get over, get out of the way, you little brownie idiots! I'll pick the lock if I have to." Oh, I forgot. Peck is like a really slanderous term for like, midgets, by the way.
It is super racist.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, but Mad Morgan's like calling them Pecks the entire. Everyone calls them Pecks. No one ever addresses them by their real race name except like the fairy princess woman, fairy woman.
The Nelwyns are Pecks. The Willow.
What? Peck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a story, but I won't tell it because it actually makes me sound like a huge asshole.
Well, those are the best stories.
Those are fan favorites.
Yeah, we love the stories that make you sound like huge assholes.
I was really drunk at a bar.
And just listen to Ham and Cheese.
There was a small person there I kept calling Pat. I was just like flush with anger. Because I thought it was fucking hilarious.
I just listened to the reference. I just listened to like the Ham and Cheddar episode like 2 weeks ago. Or Beef and Cheddar.
That's so wrong.
Going on.
So he's like, "Get out of the way, you little brownies." And they're like, "Fuck you, Mad Morgan." And they slap him with the heartbreak powder.
Yeah.
And he doesn't fall off immediately. He waits until they're like, they find the baby in this tent. And Mad Mortigan's like, "I should go in. I have more experience with the kind of stuff." And he goes into the tent. And also sleeping in the tent is the daughter of the
Sasha,
the evil queen. Is it
Sasha? Yeah, it's her name, I believe.
And then
Sorsha.
And then, so he like sees her and immediately wakes her out to like confess his love for her. And she's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And even Willow's like, "Just grab the damn baby." And then it turns into a huge chase scene where they're getting chased down like the snowy mountains.
Oh yeah, they have the sled.
Yeah, well, he gets on a shield and basically rides it down. And then Mad Morgan like trips and falls, and he just comes down in a giant snowball. but they run into the resistance again because they have been hiding out in this village at the bottom of this hill that they lead all of the Empire soldiers to with their chase. But they manage to kidnap the daughter and use her as leverage to let them escape. And so she's like, keeps talking to Mad Mortigan, like, "Did you really mean all that stuff you said about you loving me?" And he's like, "Whatever, baby."
"Stars in the sky and it went away."
Yeah, he's like, "I guess it went away." And he's like, "I was the stars in your sky and it just went away." And he's like, "Yeah, that's how these things happen sometimes." But she ends up falling in love with him. Very obvious. So Willow keeps trying to change Rizel back into human form, and then for a while she's like a goat, and it's pretty bad. But they get to the castle where there's supposed to be this army waiting to help them, but for some reason everyone in the castle is encased in amber. They don't really go into it.
Yeah,
just one of those things.
But they have this huge fight where they're like, Mad Mortigan sets up all these traps all over the castle. Like, he had maybe 15 minutes to get ready, but seemed like have like a trap in every room. Takes out all kinds of soldiers. And but the place is infested with trolls, which are, in this world, giant monkey men that just climb on walls. And so Willow tries to use magic on one of the trolls to like kill it, but he ends up changing it.
One of the most disgusting sequences ever.
At first it's like this, just like this weird blob, like a little egg looking blob, but then like heads start peeking out of it, like, and he's like, "Oh god," he just kicks it into a kicks it off the bridge into a lake, and it turns into a giant two-headed dragon. I'm like, "Wow, did that spell ever backfire?" But it ends up helping them because then all the soldiers start fighting the dragon. And then he throws a couple of
acorns at some war trolls and turns them to stone. And then Mad Mortigan, like, sort of kills the dragon by jumping on its head and stabbing it. And that's when, like, the girl's really like, oh, man, he's actually kind of hot. He's killing dragons. And that's when she betrays them and takes out the rest of the Empire soldiers.
I forgot how scary looking the trolls were in that movie.
My recollection is getting a little foggy.
Do you know that Mad Mortigan and Sorsha got married?
Did they really?
Yeah.
Val Kilmer married that chick?
Yeah. Then they got divorced.
My recollection is now a little foggy here. Somehow they still managed to capture the baby, even though they lost the castle battle.
I don't remember how that happened.
Yeah, but they capture the baby. But the Empire, the resistance soldiers show up. So they're like, we can storm the castle with a force this size. So they go to the castle and they're like, open the gates, you evil queen. And she's like, you aren't warriors. You're pigs. And she changes the entire army into pig people.
I say that to my kids all the time.
Like, you're all pigs.
Changes them all into pigs, except there's like a lot of like weird transformation sequences where there's people that are like half human, half pig at first, but they all turn into pigs. But Rizel warns Willow in time, and he puts up a protective field just to protect himself with the magic wand. And then there's like a really weird sequence where she changes Willow changes Rizel back into a human form. She's like a goat and then turns into an ostrich and then into a lion. And like, she's just like keeps shape shifting between all these weird animals until she's finally human. She's like, okay, Willow, stop. but she's like a really old woman. She said earlier in the movie, like, I was a beautiful young lady. And then Mad Morgan's like, all right, let's see that.
I'm going through and reading some trivia about the movie, and the one that stands out to me the most, I have to interrupt, is that evidently, according to George Lucas, that the Picts, like the dwarf people, are supposed to be regular size people, and the regular size people are actually supposed to be giants.
Oh.
So like Willow and them were supposed to be like 5 and 6 feet tall. And that Mad Mortigan and all those people were supposed to be like 12 feet tall.
They didn't really translate at all because they don't look like normal people. They have those stunted arms and legs.
Yeah from the dwarfism.
He should have gone for like the like Lord of the Rings approach to hobbits if that's what he wanted.
And also, Warwick Davis, how old do you think he looks in that movie?
25.
Yeah, 25 is a good one.
He was only 17 when he made that movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at guessing the age of dwarfs.
Yep.
His show on HBO, Life's Too Short, is so fucked.
So all pigs.
They're all pigs.
And he changes her back.
And Rizel. Once Rizel gets the wand.
She's a naked old lady.
Yeah, he changes all them all back into warriors. And their plan is, he's like, what is our plan for storming the temple right now? And... Willow says something like, I've got a plan. See, back where I'm from, we have a lot of moles. And even like the resistant guy, like, okay, shut the fuck up, Willow. And he's like, no, just listen to me. And his plan is they dig a whole bunch of holes and cover them with tents.
Yeah, I don't know why no one in the castle saw them doing that.
Yeah, because like the people in the castle don't even know that they're all turned back into humans yet. They think they're all still pigs like running around in the wild. So they dig a bunch of holes and put tents over them. So the only two people see you are Willow and Rizel. And they're like, we are powerful sorcerers come to kill you all. And they're like, send like three guys out on horses to kill those two assholes. And so they open the gates and just leave them open. And the three guys come out, and then all of them come out from underneath the tents in the holes and just charge right into the open gates. And they're like, oh shit, that was a terrible idea. But they get inside, and there's this huge scene where it's not enough to just kill the baby. The baby's soul has to be banished to like the nether realm where it can never be reborn again, basically.
Right.
So the queen is getting this whole ritual prepared to banish the baby.
Otherwise, she'll just have the same problem
like, yeah.
3 months,
and like
9 months later.
God damn it. Fucking princess just keeps getting reborn. But she's like about to banish the baby in the netherworld when Rizel and Willow charge in. And there's like this big battle where Willow is like basically no help whatsoever. And Rizel is trying to fight her off, but eventually gets her shit kicked in. And then it's the Emperor. It's like the Queen against Willow. And Willow is like throwing acorns at her, but they're not working because she can like reverse all the magic. And then he's like, if I can't protect Willow, I will just send her to a place where evil can never touch her. And he like is holding like something in his arms. It's just like covered in a cloth. And then he's like, there's no such spell. And he rips the cloth off and then there's nothing in his arms. And she's like, no, that's impossible. And she like accidentally stumbles into the altar and like knocks some stuff over or something like that. And then I guess the altar is like, oh, is this where we banish someone to another world? First person I see. And it just banishes the queen to the netherworld. And he's like, it's my disappearing piglet trick that didn't work out very well at the beginning of the movie. Do you remember that?
Luckily, babies aren't very mobile.
Yeah. So that's the clincher right at the end.
Yeah.
So the baby that was meant to the baby who's prophesied to destroy the queen didn't really destroy the queen.
She was there for it.
Unless she gets back from the netherworld once the queen the baby's all grown up or something.
Hi, Ryan.
And that's the whole movie.
It's a good one.
Apparently, Lucas wrote it specifically for Warwick Davis after meeting him.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I like that midget. I'm going to write a movie about midgets that are really 6 feet tall.
Yeah. George Lucas. That's a good band name, 6 Foot Midget. Use that, Matt.
Here, I'll get right on that.
Can the Bourbon Legends do a concept album that is just about Willow? From start to finish.
Willow reimagined.
We used to have a song about Curly's gold.
That's pretty awesome. What's that? The sequel
City
to
Slickers 2, City man.
Slickers. City Slickers 2. Curly. Yeah.
Never seen it.
Don't. It's terrible.
Ryan's flush with cash.
Damn, Ryan.
Motherfucking C notes.
So there is like no gaming news, right?
No.
Not really. Some dude tried to sue, was trying to sue Bethesda for ruining his life with Fallout 4.
That's always a good one.
I'm sure there's like 18 suits like that at least.
Uh-huh. What?
It's the first I've ever heard of
it. A guy trying to sue Bethesda for ruining his life because he got addicted to Fallout 4.
Well, did you ever play your Suikoden? Tear Christ?
Suikoden. No, I got both that and Stiligo for Christmas, so I'll try out Stiligo first. I'm excited, though.
Well, this is like really old news from like Christmas, but I remember we talked about like a motorcycle stunt driver got injured on the set of the new Final Resident Evil movie. Oh, yeah. She actually had to have like her arm amputated from the injuries or something like that. Well, but just died, recently, right? Someone died. They had
on the same movie set.
Same movie set. It wasn't even like an actor. It was some sort of like apparently they had a Jeep. They had a Jeep that was on top of some platform for some scene, and he was supposed to. You were supposed to be able to like turn the platform so it looks like the Jeep is turning or something like that. And he was underneath it trying to fix something, and the platform just fell on top of him and crushed him to death.
No, God.
Damn.
So that the movie's got some ill omens coming around.
It's supposed to be the last one, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. Isn't that what they always say? Yeah, this is gonna be the last one.
The last one.
Except watching them after the first one.
They're all somewhat entertaining.
Yeah. Bullshit.
They are.
The first one is.
No, the later ones are entertaining because they actually mold in some of the stuff from the video games.
That's what makes them sound horrible.
Like Chris Redfield shows up and he's played by Wentworth Miller from Prison Break. It's pretty cool.
I kind of like some of the later ones too.
Yeah.
They're not good movies.
I haven't seen the last one or this one.
Mildly entertaining.
But who's the director? Paul Anderson? Or Wes Anderson?
Not Wes Anderson. So Wes Anderson's the good one.
I'd love to see a Wes Anderson Resident Evil movie.
Yeah, but he's married to Mila Jovovich. So that's
real
why.
Retro color palette.
We actually have a lot of news from the beginning of December that we never went over since we only had one podcast in all of December.
We were good.
Yeah.
Nothing of any consequence has happened.
Star Wars 13 might return.
Ooh, that's the Boba Fett game? Or that's the movie?
It's the one that takes place in, like, lower reaches of Coruscant, I think. I don't know. They showed a bunch of concept art for it. It looked really cool.
It was like an adventure game. It was kind of like it was built
Uncharted-ish.
Yeah, it was Uncharted, but you're Boba Fett and you're running around the seedy underbelly of Coruscant. Hey,
have there been any details put out about the Star Wars movie coming in between episodes 8 and 9?
Rogue One?
Rogue One is between 7 and 8.
Oh, it's about Han Solo.
Is it?
Yeah. Prequel? Yeah.
Nice. Oh, really?
It won't be out till like 2018.
God, I feel so bad for whoever gets to play young Han Solo.
So
that's a shit dude.
I started watching Clone Wars again, sort of, just to learn a little bit more about the universe. And there's like this one episode where they all get kidnapped by people that like to play the most dangerous game and hunt people, like
the Trandoshans.
What
is it when they get captured by the Trandoshans?
Yeah, there's this like one part where they bring a Wookiee in to hunt. And I'm like, I swear to God, if this Wookiee is young Chewbacca. And then they're like, what's your name? And he's like, woo! And it's like, Chewbacca? And I'm like, oh my God.
There's only one Wookiee.
Except in the Christmas special.
What's the name of the... Oh, yeah, the Christmas special with Lumpy and...
Itchy.
Yeah. I finally
actually, with
that.
With the new canon, evidently Wookiees are super, super, super rare.
Really?
And most of them died during that battle in Revenge of the Sith on Kashyyyk.
Mm. Yeah. All the news we didn't talk about is how Konami wouldn't let Kojima accept him at his award for Metal Gear Solid.
That's right.
In person.
He signed on with
Psychonauts 2 is going to be your thing, apparently. There's going to be a Batman Telltale game. I'm sure this is all old news to everybody.
Keep rolling. I didn't know about Batman. I knew about Psychonauts.
Destiny has actual Sparrow Racing as a mini game now.
Yep. I remember a little brother told me about that.
Ni No Kuni 2 got announced for PS4.
That's exciting, actually. The thing that would excite me more than anything would be a Ni No Kuni 3DS game.
Yep.
Just do it.
There was like a whole bunch
there
of
There is one.
Is there really?
Mm-hmm.
That was a PS Vita game or something.
No, it's 3DS. Yeah,
there was a whole bunch of talk about why Final Fantasy VII is going to be episodic that I don't buy.
Unflavored.
Final Fantasy VI came out on Steam, but they got like really ugly. It's not like the Super Nintendo version. It's like really ugly special edition graphics. System Shock 3 is coming out.
Ooh.
I never played any of the System Shocks.
Me neither. A whole bunch of more games. They're like slowly adding games to backwards compatibility, like Halo Reach, Braid, and Deus Ex Human Revolution are on there now.
Oh, Deus Ex is kind of surprising. I thought they'd put out like a definitive edition of that.
Nintendo announced a controller that's like just basically a giant screen. That's all one big touchpad.
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of awful.
Yep. Ever try to play a game on your phone that's not a simple tap game?
No, if you can't feel where the buttons are, you're gonna have to like hold it in front of the screen the whole time. I bet you will.
That's about
classic
it.
Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anyway, anything else, guys?
Nah.
Yep.
No emails. I checked on the way here.
Oh, did you?
Hey, we haven't had an email since.
Did Adrian Paul email us back?
No.
We haven't had an email
just
since
send
September.
Him an email. Just do it. You have one job. You have one job.
Whatever.
One-ish.
Social media manager.
Yeah. You won't even send one simple email.
I have no titles. I'm strictly... I'm a recurring guest host.
Current turd host. Just do it.
Taking your title off the website, then.
Yeah.
There's no website.
Exactly.
You are the worst.
I am.
You can't see the look I'm giving him. Because you're listening to this.
So much shame.
It's not shame, just hate.
There's so much sexual tension in the room right now.
We don't hate you.
He's either
going to
punch me or kiss me. I can't tell.
We're not angry-ish. We're just disappointed.
The worst words ever.
Oh. All right. Well, let's call it.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
We're not missing any weeks this year, so be ready.
Bye.
Are you on 52?
Straight 52. The new 52 in the Dreamcast.
Bye.
Good night.